Hello, you beautiful TCKs. Thank you so much for continuing to show up and join me on all these ponderings, these episodic moments from my life that I share with you. And really appreciate the feedback I get from you about these episodes. The boundaries one last week, I felt like I was rushing through. I mean, it's such a big topic. And so as I find myself in a particular space around boundaries, I thought I would continue to share, but this time from a boundaries with myself perspective. We often talk about boundaries with other people, boundaries that we need to set around us. And that makes sense, especially because we're often so other focused. But I want to talk about the boundaries I need to set with myself. Now, like with any of these episodes, please listen with a massive pinch of salt, meaning if what I'm saying doesn't land for you or feels unhelpful for you, bin it. It really doesn't need to be something that you take into your story if it's just not what you want for this particular chapter. What I'm sharing is very much aligned with my own journey, as well as some of what I see when I'm working with third culture kids as well. We're kind of in this together, folks. But boundaries with myself is something that I'm increasingly finding helpful, because one of the elements of our TCK stories is it can often be a sense of disempowerment, a sense of the power is in the other. And it always was, right? As children, the power is in our parents, the power is in our organizations, the power is in the majority culture around us, of which we are a perpetual minority. So we can often carry the sense that peace and harmony will be ours when others allow it. And what I find is just how empowering it is and how relevant it is for me to recognize where I can set boundaries with myself. But as with all things, and this is sort of multifaceted for TCKs, because which self? So often when we're talking, when there's a sort of general discussion around boundaries with self, we might be talking about limits that we set with ourselves and for our own health and well-being. That might be boundaries that we hold around sleep or food or exercise or social resting time ratios, right? I'm talking about, all of that is good, but I'm talking about particularly today boundaries with the many pieces of me that are these characters that have come to make up this multifaceted self that I carry through my story. There is a self that grew from my time in Niger. There is a self that grew from my time in France. There is a self that is most at ease in this context or that context. And they might be culturally defined. They might be versions of how I perform gender, right? So being a appropriate or successful female in this culture, it might be a different self to the one in that culture. There might be parts of myself that are more emotionally defined, perhaps born from trauma or born from loss. If this sounds confusing or messy, it is. You're hearing it right. But it can also be intensely powerful to recognize that when we, as third culture kids, are feeling a sort of sense of internal tension or disruption or a kind of pulling in different directions, we're feeling that correctly, like that the Nigerian part of me has a whole different relationship with food, for instance, and with femininity, for instance, than the English part of me does. So they might have completely different agendas, both working towards my well-being, but pulling in different directions. And that's why I have to work so hard to reconcile these different aspects of me as a TCK. So that's that sense of self, multiple self that I'm talking about when I'm talking about boundaries with myself, because one of the things that I experience and that I witness a lot of us experiencing is a sense of kind of dizzying urgency and occasional panic around which self I'm supposed to be in any given moment. And this can often increase the longer we stay in a place. When we're moving around, we can often find the self that feels most appropriate to that context and kind of let that self be front of house for the degree of time that we're in that context. So if I'm doing some public speaking, I'll pull out my confident in front of a crowd self, I can articulate myself with adults. I still don't particularly identify as adult myself, but growing up in a context where I was regularly speaking and engaging in discussions with rooms full of adults as a child, there's a self that developed in me that can handle that, that can hold that, that feels we have a place in that actually. But there's a whole bunch of other selves that don't really get to show up in that space. The more vulnerable child, the playful child, perhaps the part of me that just wants to go off and do something else, the part of me that's terribly interested in language learning or traveling or learning to play the guitar. While we keep moving places, we can kind of spin the dial, if you like, if that's a helpful visual, of the many selves we have and keep interacting around the face of that dial. So they all get touched on, they all get met, they all get witnessed, they all get to see the light of day somehow, as long as we keep spinning. And when we settle in a place, what often happens, or what I observe to happen, maybe this is different for you, but this is certainly what I've observed for me and others, is that the spin of the dial will settle. So say, you know, I've been in England now for a long time, so the spin of the dial settles on largely English me with a dash of quirk if feeling the same as everybody around me gets too much at any point. And I'll essentially alternate between majority of time as English and then maybe occasional smattering of something else, other parts of me. But with a high degree of focus on adapting to this country, eating this food, etc. Well, the longer I stay here, the more discontented those other parts of me that aren't getting much airtime become. And this is often what I believe is behind a lot of our internal restlessness, where the solution seems to be a big change. We need to move, we need to get into a different context where one of those other parts can take front of house for a little while. So that's the kind of framework that I'm observing us operating in very often. And so when I'm talking about boundaries with myself, I'm talking about trying to negotiate that spinning of the dial in a way that means that no one part sort of subconsciously without my conscious intention takes front of house for too long. It's the boundaries with myself are the limits, the territorial limits I set on the different parts of myself so that one part doesn't get to usurp, take over, suffocate, hide all the other parts. Does that land? I'm wondering how many of you ever find yourself in a space where you feel like you've just been the same two-dimensional version of yourself for just a bit too long, and it's damn tiring. It's so tiring, and it can feel so flat. When we're used to the spinning, when we're used to the switching between, maintaining one particular presentation of self can feel really heavy. And what can often happen, of course, is that we end up resenting that part that is playing front of house, which I have a lot of compassion for these front of house parts, really, because they're often the part that we've selected, often subconsciously, as the part that is best suited to maintaining our sense of safety in this current context. So, but it's the one we often feel so stuck with. Boundaries with myself means that when I wake up in the morning and I feel the sinking dread of managing house or organizing a productive work schedule, or even sort of need meeting socially with people around me, that has become a massive indicator to me that I am feeling stuck and resentful of the part that I feel has been front of house. And that stuckness is an illusion. I get to change my particular presentations of self. But because most of our selves are actually fear activated, I produce the English self when I need to fit in, right? It's only when I feel at ease, or when fitting in is actually starting to threaten me. Right, when I start to feel like I'm disappearing into the crowd, I need to pull something out of my back pocket, like, you know, I'm not from around here, actually. In my childhood in the Sahara, there'll be a moment where fitting in is actually more oppressive than not, and then I pull out another part of myself to bring forward. But they're fear activated. So it can be a real act, it needs to be a real act of loving intention to make room, to make space for other parts of me, and a huge amount of hope and trust that we are in fact safe to do so. I'm hoping that I'm making sense here and that this is maybe useful to somebody listening, because the paralysis of where should I put my energies today? Which identity of mine should I feed? Which role that I'm playing is calling to me the loudest? It can be so anxiety producing, and the sense of the treadmill. And I'm learning quite newly, actually, that the inner anxiety, and I feel it as a sort of pressure, a squeezing in my chest, this is a signal that I've spent too long feeding a perfectly good identity, but it's starting to take over. And what I see a lot of us doing is carrying a certain need to be our identities to the max. So it's not enough to be a little bit of this particular self. It's not enough to be a perfectly adequate homemaker or somewhat engaged in our work. We feel the need to be 100% of whatever it is, whatever identity is in front of us, which sounds perfectly sensible and sounds like commitment, right? But it can starve these other parts of us as we drill deep into one self and leave others behind. And that anxiety that I feel, you know, I felt it this morning. I had on my list that I needed to do some baking and some cooking to just set myself up for the week ahead, to get kind of organized and to save myself some energy later. Now, what can often happen when I start doing this is I start adding things onto that list. Like, oh, it'd be good to make some soup, or it'd be good to clean the house, or it'd be good to do this pile of dishes, or it'd be good to do that. And yeah, it would. But what I can feel happening is a desire to prove that I am good enough at this identity. So it's gone beyond the necessity of the individual tasks now. This is not about the things that need doing anymore. This has become about being good enough. This has become about being this identity complete enough. And that's the moment that I'm starting to recognize I can reel back and interpret that breathless anxiety around getting it all done as an invitation to check in with other parts of me. Because there's also a part of me that wants to record this podcast for you today. There's a part of me that wants to read about complex PTSD so I can better serve you today. There's a part of me that wants to spend a few moments on my guitar. I have other and varying needs. And I think that's probably the biggest challenge for those of us carrying such multifaceted selves, is there's so much of us. A lot of what I hear from TCKs is this kind of, who am I? There's a kind of void, a blank space, I am nothing. I am simply a reflection of the people around me and the cultures around me. With a little bit of time and attention, what I find our bigger problem is that there is so much of us. It's dizzying. So much of us. And we've learnt very often to live in such a compartmentalized way that each element of us thinks they are the only one. That the challenge of our life is this messy integration where instead of having to move country to access another part of who we are, we can flip the dial internally. We can set a boundary on ourselves so that there is room for all the parts, so that one territory doesn't take over and colonize the other parts, but that we instead can make internal space. A TCK recently alerted me to a Japanese word, more of a construct really, and I'm going to pronounce it wrong, so I'm so sorry in advance, but it's yutori. And what yutori means is, as I understand it, is a sense of spaciousness, an unhurried observation of the current moment. And it strikes me that this is precisely the construct that I need to hold in mind when I'm considering the vastness the selves that I carry and how to boundary them, is to observe and inhabit each one, but in a way that is unhurried, where there is a sense of room for all. They don't need to vie for attention. They don't need to compete, because I'm going to intentionally make space for all of them in turn and tolerate. And this is the reason so often we avoid this, I think, is because part of doing that is learning to tolerate a sense of not being enough of any of them. And that's where I'm at today. I have done a little bit of house management me. I am doing a little bit of social connection podcasting me. And none of it feels like enough. Moving between these parts can leave us feeling like we're just a moment short of being enough of any one of them. But if we are to really hold them all close, if we're really to pull them in tight, to recognize all their places in the largeness of self, we need yutori, we need space, and to tolerate. And I'm trusting, as with all new muscles being used, I'm trusting it'll get easier over time, that I can reinterpret this itch, this discomfort internally that I'm just flitting or not being enough of any, to actually being precisely what I need to do to remember all of me. Setting boundaries with myself is uncomfortable, but it's also deeply respectful of all the parts that make up me. Thank you for listening. Until next time, take care of you. Bye.